It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff. Today we are talking the conversation of My Happy. Now, in a world full of, you know, a bunch of self-help books and life coaches, which, you know, not all of those things are certainly bad, of course, but I think we are all focused in seemingly on sometimes what is ultimately the wrong thing, because we pursue what we believe, you know, is going to make us happy, or the things that everybody else has, so, you know, we got to have them too. And then in the end, we're left with this emptiness of falling short. Jeff?
That whole, it's my truth, my happy, my wants, my hopes, my dreams.
My way, my life.
All of it. And it's so self-serving, first of all. We've made it all about me. And aren't you excited, Tyler, to make your life all about me?
About you or me?
Right? And so that's the biggest thing, is we're all fighting about who the story's about.
Well, and, you know, in society today, I think this cultural idea has really created a big sense of entitlement, that you've got to acknowledge how I feel at all times, what I think, what I want, what's best for me has to be at the forefront of how you treat me at all times.
It's funny. It used to be love your neighbor as yourself. And we have made a culture now. We just got back to love yourself. It's like we still want to cite that thing, but all we really heard the whole time and all we really want to do is, and that command is, love yourself.
Yeah, we got rid of the words neighbor and
yeah.
as your. Now it just says love yourself. Mm-hmm.
Love yourself as yourself. You know, it's like, what? But no, we've made a whole society on it. We're all narcissists.
You know what's crazy, though, is you are exactly right. That's what's been created, and that's how, you know, people have been living. I think there are so many people that when you pull back that very thin veneer, don't love themselves at all. And look at all the ways, you know, when you once again take off the veneer of, I'm free, I'm doing me. Look at the ways we've completely disrespected ourselves, and we call it being free. When in reality, if you loved yourself, would you do that?
We're destroying ourselves and so many of the things that we call freedom.
All in the pursuit of
happiness.
Happiness.
My happy.
That somebody else told you was your happy.
Right. And we're miserable. In fact, I think suicide's at an all-time high.
Since, what did I see last week? Since the 1941, I think?
Depression, all-time mm-hmm. high. If we are the freest we've ever been, then why are we so miserable?
And then even to kind of play into that a little bit, of you have people now who are obviously, I saw this stat and this is crazy. We account for 5% of the world's population.
We, what do you mean, like Americans?
America.
Okay.
And we consume 85% of the world's prescription drug medications. So now out of that 85%, how many of those are antidepressants?
Gosh.
With one of the main side effects being suicidal thoughts. What are the two most atheistic career fields?
Oh, I don't know.
Psychiatrists, psychologists. Study out of Harvard.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. So if you think about people are obviously looking, they're pursuing, they're wondering. They aren't, as much as they want to claim, you know, we're so happy, we really love ourselves. I mean, all the data would indicate quite the opposite, right?
So then in people who go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist typically are adrift. They're lost. They're needing something more.
Sure.
And so you're going to a godless person who's going to give you...
In general, yes.
More, like they're likely going to give you more of what got you into the place of depression in the first place.
Amen. Actually, they're gonna add fuel to the fire, because then they're gonna throw prescription medication that, you know, it's a general medicine that, how could we sit here and say that our brain chemistries probably aren't the exact same, right?
We all know what self-help is, these books, these programs, which again, they're not all bad.
Sure.
But you've got to be honest about when they violate, again, the confines and boundaries that God gave us. And that's one of those things where, again, we've all fallen for what appears to be good. You know, again, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. He didn't go, I'm the bad guy. He always presents as good. I'm here for you. I want to give you something. God's holding out on you, Eve. Take this, you know, whatever this fruit is, and it'll make you like God. You know, he always comes as our helper, not as hate and our enemy and trying to destroy us. And listen, I think that we fall for it. Not just even in Adam, we do every day. A lot of people spend a lot of time trying to improve themselves. And I think that's wonderful. That's great, right? We read books on this. But some of the stuff that we've been given, you know, they tell you part of how you can organize yourself and get the most out of life and your time is to set goals. And so far, this all makes sense. And so you need like, you know, a 1-week plan, you need a 1-year plan, you need a 5-year plan, a 20-year plan, all these plans to make sure that you're tracking to accomplish your goals. This is key, your goals. As a believer, what's wrong with that? To me, that seems like an offshoot of this. Tyler, when you grow up, you can be anything you want to be. Anything. What do you want to be?
I think that has been twisted and contorted over time, that I do believe when that statement was originally put forward, I think it was taken as, you know, you have a dream, you have a kind of a calling or a passion, you're drawn towards something. Maybe it's, we'll just use easy examples, you're an engineer, or you want to go to law school, or you want to be a doctor, whatever it is. You want to be an entrepreneur, own your own business. I think it was originally put forward as that, and I think that was kind of the mindset that was adapted. But I think now that's been twisted into anything you want to be, maybe an animal or 3 genders over from what you actually are.
Right. I remember they had when I was in school, these motivational posters. I don't know if they still do this or not, but they always had these posters, and they would say the most ridiculous things like, how about this one? If you can dream it, you can achieve it. Sounds great, but think that one through. Anything you dream of, you can achieve? Anything?
I guess you can dream it. It depends on what context you're taking. You have always had a dream to be a specific, like you've just, you know what? I feel as though I'm going to be a fireman when I grow up. I just have a passion for that. I've always loved it. I like to help people. If that's been your dream, why could you not achieve it?
Okay, well, I want to be the moon.
You're right. According to the statement, you technically, well, you said I could be anything, so I could be the moon.
I want to be a building.
Yes. And I think now that's where we've landed. It's insanity. But I think if you apply those ideals properly, I think they serve benefit. Absolutely.
You mean if you have proper grounding?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, and that all goes back to having faith, though.
Right. So not just as believers, but as a country, you know, if you have proper boundaries and confines, you understand how things actually work, then motivational statements are wonderful. But when you don't, they become not just toxic. Again, they become dangerous.
And I do agree with you in that these motivational statements, I think when we were engaged with a society full of common sense, obviously most people were like you just said, what if I want to be the moon? Most people weren't conceiving of that because they know they can't be the moon, right?
Yeah.
But I do agree with you. Now that's changed. It absolutely has. You didn't need, when there was a society full of common sense and full of believers and people of faith, you didn't need to add the out of bounds lines on the statement. Well, except for if you want to be something that's not human.
Right. It's like the statement, shoot for the moon, and even if you miss, right, in your goals, you'll be among the stars. I can buy into that one. But mm-hmm. The moment the kid says, I'm going to shoot for the moon because I'm going to become the next moon. That's what?
Right. It doesn't make any sense. Or even if you say, well, I decided I want to be the opposite sex of what I am. I can mm-hmm. be anything I want to be. Now, they may be able to make you appear that way.
Yeah, you can put a costume on.
But you still can't be that. You're biologically not that. So it's not possible for you to be the opposite gender.
Your chromosomes are still the same. You are the way you were born, the way God made you. And that's my next point, is that, again, in our disconnect, in our godlessness, as we once were a Christian nation and not anymore, is we've lost that connection to not only our Creator, who gives us our rights, we'll get into that at some point, our Creator, but also the confines He gave us that give context to our life and our purpose. And even our goals. So watch this. I've been asked as a pastor, you know, for 20 years or plus, you know, Jeff, what are you trying to be? What are you trying to accomplish? What when you grow up as a pastor one day, what do you want to become? You know, what do you want to have? I just want what God has for me. I don't sit there and long for what I want. I long for what He wants for me. To the extent I've kind of pushed away from those self-help goal books, which again, they aren't all bad, but I think again, this ideology that we're given about making your own plans, I'm more interested in discovering the plans God has for me, not the ones I can have for myself. Does that make sense?
I think if we kind of follow the things we're passionate about, I think that kind of leads us towards God's plans in general, if you're a person of faith, at least, I would say. Because if you have these draws towards things that are of good, for good, are you not kind of carrying out your purpose and your destiny? Where did your draw for that come from?
Well, so how do you distinguish? I know that's, again, it's another popular teaching. Then how do you distinguish? Like someone says, okay, well, I have the desire to change my sex. I have the desire to hurt people. I have the desire to...
It's simple. They're not good.
So, okay. So you're saying, again, there's limits and boundaries to those desires.
Well, what good is going to come out of you mutilating yourself? What good's going to come out of you hurting others?
See, here's our issue.
Good. They're not of God.
But the person who's not a believer, who doesn't submit to God, has a different definition of good and bad.
Well, they have their own definition.
Right. So who gets to decide if we're untethered, who gets to decide what's good and bad? Do you see why we're so lost and confused here?
Yeah, sure. Because they have no boundaries.
Right. No, nothing to keep. I mean, there's no ways, standard. No standard.
In some ways, we've probably ourselves, me when I was, you know, a young adult to early 20s, you yourself back in the day, maybe not in terms of wanting to change our genders, but we lived in a similar mindset, right? We did whatever we wanted. We thought we were going to make our own rules, live by our own codes. And whatever we deem to be proper and just is what we're going to do.
Yeah, I think the difference is when we lived in those, we'll call it rebellion, the whole time we had a culture around us and teaching and people saying, hey, what you're doing is wrong and that's not good. Today, they're affirming these wrong behaviors. They're calling this the new normal.
Yeah.
You don't have that e-brake, you know, someone pulling the brake next to you while you're driving down that road.
Even in times of rebellion, there was still the general societal standard of what was good.
Yeah, and people, there was always some kind of pushback and signs saying, hey, slow down, caution, warning, turn around.
And honestly, in a way, that was kind of part of the fun for me, was to push that line or push that envelope of that standard of what was good and like, all right, well, what can I get away with? That was kind of part of my rebellion.
So I wanted to give an alternative to the self-help, but I was sharing it with my older brother. And I said, so rather than me trying to figure out a one-week goal, you know, a six-month goal, a one-year plan, a 5-10 whatever plan, and the purpose of what I want to accomplish, what I've made my mind up that I need to do to ultimately be successful is, again, I don't want to make plans for myself. I want to discover the plans God already has for me, because I firmly believe whatever God has for me is better than anything I could ever want or create for myself. So I believe that. So if that's the case, here's my struggle. I don't know the mind of God. Do you? Right.
But I feel like on occasion, maybe we get some glimpses of things that happen in our life that we're just like, wow, that was crazy.
Right.
But to say that we would know God's mind, absolutely not.
Right. The best I have is the moment I'm in, there is a clear line of what's right and wrong. And again, the confines that He has established, not what my society, my government, my friend group, but what God has established, there is a right and there's a wrong. And so I operate within the right. Now, when I don't, that's wrong, right? And and I repent of that. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm just saying that what I'm aiming for, if here's my goal is to do what is right in God's eyes, not in mine, not in my eyes, not in your eyes, not in the world's eyes, in His eyes. That's first. That's the first key principle. Mm-hmm. Today, not in 20 years, today. If I do today, if I'm obedient today and only do what is right and make the best decisions, not the good. Okay, the enemy of great is good. I don't want to make the good decisions. I want to make the greater decisions, the better decisions of good. Pursuing those as I pursue God, seeking to discover His plan, not, again, not in 20 years, not even trying to figure out the riddle of God for life, just today, just right now, in this moment, the next step that I have to take, if I keep doing that and I go to bed tonight, what am I uniquely set up to do tomorrow?
The same thing.
The same thing. And if I do that every single day of my life, and in 20 years, I'm going to be exactly where God wanted me to be all along. So I don't have to have the full plan. All I have to do is be faithful to His.
I think when we have goals and plans, I mean, I have things I'd like to have, at, you know, 20 years from now. Will that be the case? I don't know. But I think when we focus in solely on whatever it may, maybe you want a vacation house on the beach, a vacation house in the mountains. Maybe you want this fancy foreign car, whatever it may be. If you focus and lock in on that, and that is your sole objective, I think you're going to find yourself in a lot of compromising positions to get yourself there. If that's your be-all, end-all hill that you're going to die on, is that you must have it, I think you're going to find yourself doing things that you never thought you would necessarily. You're going to dedicate your treasures, your resources, your passions to the wrong things.
Right, instead of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and think it's going to bring you happiness, but even that's a vice in a prison.
Yeah, well, the vice is your focus mm-hmm. on the wrong things.
If you want to find the greatest happiness you can have in your life, stop asking what do you want. Ask what God wants. And don't worry about the 20-year plan or the 100-year plan. Worry about the plan for today and accomplishing what God has for you today, and do it right.
What does God tell us that, how does the verse go about tomorrow has enough trouble of its own?
Yeah, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or what you're going to wear. Yeah.
Because really, being present and living for today is all that you can do, because you have no idea what's going to happen 10 years from now. You have no idea what's going to happen 10 days from now. It's out of your control.
God provides all the things that we sit here and fuss about, not only with the food and the clothes and the housing and all these things, but in addition to that, our purpose, our meaning, our happiness is tied to Him. Life itself is a gift from Him.
I think, too, we've had it so good for so long here that, I don't remember when you said this, but about basically idle hands being the devil's workshop, is that we have been so blessed as a nation for so long, and we've had so much, that it's taken our focus away from the struggle of where that came from and the purpose of who gave it to us, to now we focus on all of these insignificant, I need to have this new thing or that new thing, or I need to go to this place. And, you know, I already went to this place and that was awesome, but now I need to one up it and go to this next place. When, you know, there's some places on this earth alone where people don't know where their next meal is going to come from. Does anybody here worry about that for the most part? I would say very, 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 very few.
I'm hungry right now, but that was a choice. I skipped breakfast.
Correct.
Yeah, that was a luxury I had.
We have so many resources and blessings available to us, and we so often fall short. And like you just said, you stopped and looked out your window this morning and just took in a beautiful sunset and just said thank you, offered gratitude. We fall short in the gratitude department so often.
We're all guilty, and I don't care whether you're a believer or not, we're chasing the wrong things. Mm-hmm. We've been told to chase the wrong things. We've been conditioned. We've been
encouraged
to chase the wrong things. And in the end, we eventually catch the mail truck, you know, the dog, the mailman, and we're like, now what do I do? Because it didn't do what we thought it would. It's like, okay, I accomplished that. Now what? Oh, there's something else to chase.
Have you ever seen somebody who's spent their life pursuing wealth that has enough?
No. Yeah, no. No,
they always need more.
Yeah.
Well, when I first got started, I just wanted to have a nice house, you know, maybe two cars, my kids, a white picket fence. Okay, well, I got that. Now I need a second house. I've got six cars. Well, that's not enough now. Now I need to own, you know, some duplexes, only to reach the end of my life to come to the conclusion that it was never satisfying.
Imagine the people that you love. And instead of hugging them, you hug their shadow. You know, we're not chasing the real substance. We're chasing the shadows. We never touch, we never connect with the people we actually love, that we're actually trying to reach for, because we're reaching for something else. One of the things that our self-help books do is they ultimately are promising us glory and praise and whatever success it's going to give us, right? It's that glory and praise. And this one Christian guy, I don't know if he's a pastor or what he is in this interview, but he says that's one of our fundamental problems, is that we're not capable of handling glory. Glory is only to be given to God.
Mm.
And he says, we struggle just to handle praise, but glory is for God. That's what I think a lot of what the stuff that we're chasing is all about, glorifying self and the praise of self.
Mm. It's the ego.
Mm-hmm.
It's all to satisfy the ego, when in reality, the ego is never satisfied.
When is it enough?
It never is.
But God always is.
Hmm.
If you could just chase what matters and stop chasing the other stuff.
Well, and I think we've seen several examples, even biblically, of those who may have, you know, in some ways had their own plans, but pursued God's plans for them. In the end, they ended up with more than they would ever imagine anyway.
All of us will. Jesus said it this way in a parable. The kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. And the guy goes and discovers it, and he buries that treasure, that one single treasure, and sells everything he has to go purchase that field so that treasure can be his. In other words, get all in. Get all in on what God has. He is the treasure. Everything else is just stuff.
Hmm. That's a great way to look at it. Everything else is just stuff. It's obviously all temporary. And we've just been, as you said, conditioned and encouraged over time to view stuff as much more of a significant value than ultimately it really is.
I remember saying to a student of mine 20 years ago, you know, getting aggravated because, you know, there's always sales and they give us these coupons or they try and show us, oh, going out of business sale. And I said to her, you know what crap on sale is? It's still crap. It's crap on sale. And
there's,
it's not.
There's a reason it didn't sell in the first place.
But that's what they're trying to do. The world's just trying to sell you more crap. That's not going to make you happy. But God always will. Again, your best future is with him, not with your stuff. He's the treasure.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Peace, love, God bless. Remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.